Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 22. We're going to read the first 29 verses of that chapter today. And it's going to be one of the places in the book of Acts where the Apostle Paul is giving his personal testimony. We've been studying the book of Acts here at Faith Chapel, and for those of you who are visiting with us today, this is just part of a rather lengthy expository series that we're doing, but we like to look at all of the scriptures. One of the themes of our ministry here at Faith Chapel is the whole word to the whole world, and we want to get all of the scripture deeply embedded into all of our lives. Acts chapter 22, starting with verse 1. Brothers and fathers, hear the defense that I now make before you. And when they heard that he was addressing them in the Hebrew language, they became even more quiet. And he said, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated at the feet of Gamaliel, according to the strict manners of the law of our fathers, being zealous for God of all that you are in this day. And I persecuted rather this way to the death, binding and delivering to prison both men and women, as the high priest and the whole council of elders can bear me witness. From them I received letters to the brothers, and I journeyed toward Damascus to take those also who were there, being to bring them in bonds to Jerusalem to be punished. And I was on my way, and I drew near to Damascus about noon. A great light from heaven suddenly shone around me. And I fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Now those who are with me saw the light, but did not understand the voice of the one who is speaking to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, Rise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all that is appointed for you to do. And since I could not see because of the brightness of that light, I was led by the hand by those who were with me and came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the Jews, all spoken of by all the Jews who live there, came to me and standing by me said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very hour I received my sight and I saw him. And he said, The God of our fathers opened you to, or appointed you rather, to know his will, to see the righteous one and to hear a voice from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to everyone of what you have seen and heard. And now why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. When I had returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple, I fell into a trance and I saw him saying to me, Make haste, get out of Jerusalem quickly, because they will not accept your testimony about me. And I said, Lord, they themselves know that in one synagogue after another I imprisoned and I beat those who believed in you. When the blood of Stephen, your witness, was being shed, I myself was standing by and approving and watching over the garments of those who killed him. And he said to me, Go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. Upon this word, they listened to him. Up to this word, rather, they listened to him. But then they raised their voices and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live. And as they were shouting and throwing off their cloaks and flinging dust into the air, the tribune ordered him to be brought into the barracks, saying that he should be an example by flogging, to find out why they were shouting against him like this. And when they had stretched him out for the whips, Paul said to the centurion who was standing by, Is it lawful for you to flog a man who is a Roman citizen and uncondemned? When the centurion heard this, he went to the tribune and said, What are you about to do? For this man is a Roman citizen. And so the tribune came and said to him, tell me, are you a Roman citizen? And he said, yes. The tribune answered, I bought this citizenship for a large sum. And he said, but I was a citizen by birth. And so those who were about to examine him withdrew from him immediately. And the tribune was also afraid, for he realized that Paul was a Roman citizen and that he had bound him. The Apostle Paul, as you know, came to Jerusalem to do a number of things. First of all, to present a gift from the Gentile churches to help them with their impoverished situation that they were facing. He also came there to try to bring together greater unity between both Jew and Gentile Christians, that they might have strong fellowship. But he had been warned on the way that there was possible danger waiting for him there, and as he had been warned, certainly that is what happened. Still, Paul believed that he was here by the will of God, that he was doing God's will. And of course, that's the important thing, isn't it? We don't want to live our lives doing our thing, but we want to do what God wants us to do. We want to be in the will of God. As we look at this situation now, we see the Apostle Paul is going to stand before a hostile crowd. You remember what has happened. He has been taken captive while he was in the temple. And the people that were there, some of them just decided that he had to be put out of the way. And so they took him into the court there of the Gentiles. And there they were starting to beat him up and they were going to kill him right there. And then what happens? Well, thankfully, the nearby commander heard what was going on, sent in a group of soldiers, rescued him. And now, after a time, Paul has asked if he can give a testimony to the crowd, and he has granted that privilege. And this is where we pick up the story right now. I want to ask you a question as we begin here today. What would you do if you were in this situation? If a group of people had grabbed you without even putting you to trial, and what's more, they had actually tried to kill you. If it hadn't been for the commander and his troops, that's what would have happened. How would you feel about a situation like that? Would you be ready to stand up and say, I'm so glad to be with you. I want to share with you the good news of the gospel. It might be a real challenge to do that. A number of years ago, there was a man who was an airplane pilot. And this particular man was a gentleman who flew planes professionally, doing acrobatic flights. He would do all the flips and twirls and all of those kinds of things. One day he was going to put on a show for a large group of people, and he took two of his friends into this little plane with him, and up they went, and they were going to begin the process of putting on the show, and all of a sudden, his plane began to act very inappropriate. It didn't seem like something was just right, and he could not control the plane properly, and he didn't know what it was, but it almost seemed like something was wrong, that somehow the wrong fuel or something had been put into his plane. Well, he did everything he could to bring the plane down successfully. He did land the plane. The plane was almost totally destroyed. However, all three of the people that were in the plane survived, for which he was thankful, of course, and his passengers as well. Upon landing, however, they discovered that his surmising was correct, that somebody had put the wrong kind of fuel into the plane that day. And what had happened, the young man who had serviced the plane had put jet fuel into this small plane when actually all it took was gasoline. It was just a regular gasoline motor, and the wrong fuel had been placed inside. Can you imagine if you were that young mechanic who did this? How would you feel about this? You almost killed three people because of the mistake that you made. And on top of that, you also found that you had nearly destroyed a very expensive plane. As this young man saw the pilot and his friends walking, he felt that he had to go up, and he was totally sorry about what had happened. He went up with, you know, sadness in his eyes and his head bowed down and everything else. He went up to this pilot and he said, "I am so sorry what happened." But the amazing thing was, this pilot walked over to him, put his arm on his shoulder and said, "Young man," he said, "I know that if you were to ever service a plane again, you would never make a mistake like you made here today. And so I want you to know that I believe in you, and tomorrow when we have a second go round with a different plane," he said, "I want you to be the one who's going to service my plane before I fly it." You might say, "Wow, what an amazing thing." I mean, he was almost killed because of the doings of this one pilot. And on top of that, a very expensive plane was destroyed. You might wonder, how in the world could you possibly forgive somebody for that, or have such a caring and kind attitude toward them? But that's what happened. And you know, when I look at this story here of the Apostle Paul and what happened to him in the temple and in the subsequent events that follow, we find out here again that Paul is a person just like this pilot. He is so concerned about what has happened as it affects other people more so even than himself. Paul is one who is concerned about the gospel. He is concerned about his own people, the Jews. He had a great love for them. He loved them with all of his heart. On top of that, he was also the apostle to the Gentiles. And so he was very willing to try to reach out in any way that he could, even when he was warned repeatedly that he might have great trouble in this city. There he was, doing what he did best, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know, that's what we need to do as well. We're not here in this world to stay safe. We are not in this world to become popular or famous or wealthy or whatever. We are in this world to bring glory to God, and we are to do that through sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. As we look in on the story, we find out that as Paul gives his testimony here, he starts out by erecting a bridge with the people to whom he is ministering. That's always a smart thing. If you're going to share the gospel with somebody else, you try to establish a link, if you can, some way that you can get close to them to be able to share the good news. You have a very great message to give them, but sometimes you have to start out with certain things to bridge the gap, so to speak, in order to be able to bring the gospel to them. Paul starts out here doing what? Well, he was a very intelligent man. You know this, he could speak Greek. He could speak several different languages, and yet what does he do? He goes right to the Hebrew language that he knew that they knew, and he spoke to them in their own language. I think one of the reasons why he had to be hauled into the barracks afterwards is because the people that were there by authority didn't know what he was really saying, because they didn't understand all the things that he was speaking in this language. But Paul was doing what? He was trying to bridge the gap there by using the language that they understood. And of course, that's what we want to do in our world today too. They might understand our language that we're actually speaking, but still there's a sense in which sometimes it's hard for people in our culture today to understand what Christians are really talking about. We need to find ways, if we can, to bridge the gap and to bring the gospel to them. You notice also that he tries to identify with them in every way. He describes himself also as a Jew. If there was any question about that, he said, "I want you to know that I'm a Jew. And what's more, I was born in Tarsus in Cilicia." And he said, "But I had my education right here in Jerusalem. I'm one of you. I am a Jew. And what's more, I know about your city here, and I know about the things that you teach and what you believe." In addition to that, he also said, "I know that every one of you are zealous for God, and you know I am too. And the God that you are zealous for is the same God that I am zealous for as well." You see what he's doing? He's building that bridge, trying to get to them with the gospel itself. And he said, I want you to know that just like you don't like some of these Christians that are out there now, he said, there was a time in my life when I felt the same way. In fact, is not only did I feel the same way, I took steps to prove that I felt that way. He moves secondly now into explaining his behavior. How does a man like Paul, who had all of these background experiences, being born and raised as a Jew, speaking the Hebrew language, having been educated by Gamaliel in that very city. Gamaliel was one of the most revered teachers of the Jewish faith that there was at this time. And Paul said, that was my teacher. I had the best teacher. I had the best education about these things. But he says, I want you to know something. I made a terrible mistake. I did something that was wrong. And you know, here's something too. A lot of times Christians like to tell their story, and sometimes when they share the gospel with other people, it's almost like they're afraid to admit that they're human, that they are sinners too. And yet this is something we never want to forget, because we're sharing the gospel with others because we know what it did for us. Jesus saved us. Or if not, he can save you. And you see, that's the important thing to remember, that we are all sinners. We all need a Savior. There's none of us that is worthy of salvation. And yet, God saved us by his grace. Paul says, that's what happened to me. I had letters. I had authority from even your leading people here in this city of Jerusalem. They told me it was all right if I wanted to go down to Damascus and arrest some Christian Jews that had escaped from Jerusalem trying to get away from the persecution. And I could go down there and find them, and I could drag them back to Jerusalem, and they could all be punished, and I could have a hand in doing all of this. He said, can you imagine? That's what my life was at that time. Now look what's happened. Everything's changed. I'm the one being persecuted, and yet I'm doing this because I realize that all of the persecution I was trying to bring to the Jewish people, that it was all wrong. I was in sin. I was not following the true God. What's more, he said, unless God in his grace revealed himself to me, I never would have changed. And that's, of course, what happened. And you know, that's what happens to everybody. Before a person can come to Jesus Christ and find salvation, they need to know not only that they are sinners, but in addition to that, they need God to come by his grace and reveal himself to them. This, of course, is what he does through the Word of God. This is what he also does through the Holy Spirit. You've heard the prayers this morning asking for the Holy Spirit to be active, involved in helping people to understand and realize the truth of the gospel. And the Apostle Paul knew that this is something that had to happen as well. In fact, is that's what happened to him. The only difference is he had an experience that I don't believe anybody else here has had, and I know I certainly haven't, but he actually saw Jesus Christ face to face. You say, man, that is amazing. What a great thing to be able to see Jesus face to face. But I want to tell you something. You know the Lord Jesus Christ. One day, you're going to see him face to face. Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face. What will it be? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. What a great story that is. And that is the story of every Christian, whether we've actually seen him yet face to face. We know we're going to. We know where we're going. We know what our future is. But what's more, we have a reason not only to die someday and to move on to be with him, we have a reason for living right now too. We have a reason to share with the whole world the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Paul tells his story, and he gives the whole story here. And the Lord, of course, as he always does, had just the right person there to become involved in leading Paul the rest of the way. That man's name was Ananias. And you know, Paul was even smart in building his bridge. He even mentioned that Ananias was a very godly, devout Jew who helped him to come to that understanding even further about the truth of the gospel. Ananias had helped him to lead him to Christ itself. There's one little statement in the older version, the King James Version, that I think we have to clarify. In Acts 22:16 of the King James Version there, it says that Ananias speaks the word. He says that they were to rise and be baptized, and that he would receive the washing away of his sins. Some people looking at that might think that maybe the Bible teaches that it is through baptism that our sins are washed away. And of course, we know that that is not the case. But we know something else about that, and that is that baptism itself is a picture of what Jesus does through his blood. The Apostle Paul, at the time that he was baptized, we can show from several scriptures that also reflect his testimony, that he was already, when this statement was made to him, he was already one who believed. In fact, is he already had the Holy Spirit living in his heart too. And at that time, as a spirit indwelt believer, he was also then baptized at the instruction there of Ananias. So I just don't want to get any things that somehow are maybe a little confusing here. The statement in the older version is not quite as accurate. And that doesn't mean I'm criticizing older versions or, you know, praising new ones. I simply am saying that verse 16 in that old version is not so clear. Verse 16 now in the ESV that we have in front of us here says, "Now, why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name." That's how people are saved, right there. By calling on the name of the Lord. What does the Bible tell us? Whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's a divine promise from the Lord himself. Well, after Paul explains his behavior, he now boldly tells them about one other thing. You know, God doesn't just save us when we learned about our sin, or when we learn about his salvation and about who he really is, or when we learn about the gospel. But God also, when it comes to this matter of salvation, also saves us for a purpose. You know, if you're a Christian here today, God saved you for a purpose. If you're a young person here, but yet one who has come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God saved you for a purpose. You know, just like God used Ananias to help lead Paul a little further down the pathway, maybe that's what's going to happen here this week. Maybe something that one of the volunteers that are working here with our congregation, somebody might be able to share some things to another person, and you might be the one that God uses. Just like God used Ananias in Paul's life, God might use you in somebody else's life to help bring them further down the road of understanding about Christ or about the gospel. Or maybe just encouraging somebody who's already a Christian, but maybe is a little weak and having some difficulties right now. You might be the one that God uses. But you know what? Count on this fact. God saves people for a purpose. And Paul told the people, he said, you know, I've got to tell you, after God did all this to me, he gave me a commission. He gave me a responsibility, and that responsibility was what? To bring the gospel to the Gentile world. That's where the bridge broke. But you know what? He still had laid the right foundation, the right bridge to bring the gospel to them. And when he started talking about the Gentiles, oh man, that's when they really got upset. Why? Didn't they want Gentile converts? You know what? The Jewish people did want Gentile converts. But you know what they wanted first? They wanted them, first of all, to become good Jews. And then, having accepted all of the Jewish ways and rituals, then to believe on Jesus Christ and become part of that faith. Well, that was more acceptable. What was the problem in so many of the churches where Paul went, where he started churches and where he was working with their churches that were already there? He would come and people said, well, you know, believing in Christ as one is fine, but you know, there's one more thing. You've got to be circumcised, or you have to put yourself back under all the ceremonial laws and rituals of the Old Testament. If you do that, then you can become a Christian. But otherwise, if you just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that's not enough. You need all this other stuff too. I want to tell you something. If you have Jesus Christ, that is all you need. We are complete in Christ Jesus. That doesn't mean we can't grow and learn more. That doesn't mean that we can't get a better grasp of the scriptures and so forth. But the central fact is what? It is Christ and Christ alone that saves us. It's Christ alone by which we are able to pass from death into life itself, eternal life, all because of what Jesus has done for us. Well, when the crowd reacted, of course, this poor commander, he had already rescued Paul. Now he's going to have to do it again. So what do? They decide that we've got to find out what this guy is really saying here. We've got to understand him a little better. And so what do? They take him and they bring him into the barracks, and there they lay him out just like he's the worst of criminals. And there they prepare him to be whipped, to be flogged, to be beaten. And for what purpose? To try to find out the truth. What a foolish thing. They had already heard the truth. They had heard the truth about Paul's true story. They had heard the truth about salvation through Jesus Christ. They had had the truth of how Jesus saved him and what had happened to him. They had heard the whole truth, everything that he could tell them about it. Yet somehow they didn't understand it. And so what were they going to do? They were going to punish him and hope they could find out something more. You know what? Just as God had provided that group of soldiers to come in and save Paul's life by taking him out of the temple the first time, now what we find here is that God puts the right soldier there who's about to give the command that Paul be whipped. The right man is there at the right moment. And Paul wisely looks at this man and says, are you going to whip me when I am a Roman citizen and I haven't even been to trial yet? That was a violation of the law. If you punished a Roman citizen for any crime, and yet they had not had their full day in court, if they had been punishing him before he had ever been to court or whatever, they could have been put in prison themselves or severely punished themselves. They were about to break the law, and Paul could have, I guess, just have gone ahead and let it happen. But you know what? Think about it. Not only would he had great pain, but they would have been in great trouble too. The gospel wouldn't have spread very quickly after that either, would it? But Paul says, is it right for you to punish me, a Roman citizen? And the centurion suddenly realizes what he's about to do is wrong. He goes to the commander and to the tribune and says, do you know this guy's a Roman? Do you know that? Now, he's got one of the soldiers standing up to defend him. How does that happen? How does a guy who's about to whip you suddenly become your defender? I'll tell you, only God can do stuff like that. Only God can change people's lives. Only God can change the situation in a moment. You know what? That's the same thing that happens with salvation. You may have been many years in your life not knowing the Lord. You may have walked many different ways that were far from God's will and for His way for your life. And yet in one moment you can pray and you can change all of that. You can move, as we said just a moment ago, out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You can have salvation and all that is involved with it. And many times God has the right person there at just the right time. And look what happens. He is now, because of the matter that this man did here, the centurion, because he acted quickly, Paul not only was spared from a whipping, but he was able to go through a long 4-year process. We don't know what happened after that. We know only as far as the book of Acts takes us, and we're going to look at the remaining chapters of that in future weeks. Some people think that Paul actually made it to Spain for a while and then was re-released and punished eventually by death. But again, that is not conclusive. Whatever the case, 4 additional years of Paul's life were granted for him to do what? To share the gospel. It was his goal to get to Rome one day anyway, and God says, all right, you want to get to Rome, I'll take you to Rome. In fact, is I'll let you speak to the soldiers who are guarding the emperor. I'll let you speak to them. I'll let you share the gospel with them. The Bible tells us that as a result of that, Paul was able to share the gospel with a whole Praetorian guard. All the guards that were watching over the emperor, they all, one by one by one, heard the gospel of Jesus Christ from Paul. I'm not saying that every one of them was converted, but I wouldn't doubt that some of them were. You see the one thing, though? Paul, in spite of all of the wrongdoing that had happened to him, he was only thinking about one thing. That there are people out there that need to know about Jesus. That there are people out there today who are going to suffer one day eternal condemnation because they do not know Christ as their personal Savior. And a lot of people say, yeah, well, I know that's true. And yeah, so what? So what? With Paul, there was no so what. With Paul, it was the most important thing in the whole world. Everybody needed to know. And you know what? That's still true today. Everybody needs to know. Everybody. The old need to know. The young need to know. The people in middle age need to know. People who have good health. People who have bad health, physically speaking. Whatever their situation, it doesn't matter how rich they are, how poor they are, how sophisticated their life may be, how authoritative their positions in life. They all need Christ. And without Jesus Christ, there is no hope. But you know, it was Paul's good treatment in this occasion that continued the gospel moving forward and continued to allow many more people to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. In closing today, I just want to remind you about one thing. God can do amazing things even when things look the darkest. You might say, well, you know, if Paul had listened to those people in the first place, he might never have had all this trouble in Jerusalem, and he might have lived a lot longer than 4 years. He might have, but we don't know that. But you know what? We do know that as a result of those 4 years, a number of the books of the New Testament that we now have in our possession, that are part of the Bibles that we have, part of the scriptures that we read and that we love and that we have grown to know, they were written during that period of time. We wouldn't have 4 or 5 different books in the New Testament that we now have today. They wouldn't be there today if Paul had been killed that day or if Paul had had a different things happen in his life. But you know what? God worked it all out, even in spite of all of the suffering and everything, to bring the gospel and to bring the scriptures even so that you and I, even here today, might be able to have the full word of God for us. Don't you think that God wants you and me to tell the gospel to people? I want to ask you one question today as we close. That's this. Why should anybody in the world be able to hear the gospel twice when some people have never even heard it once? You might be that very person who will bring the gospel to them for the first time. You know what? When that happens, and when Jesus Christ gets into a life, it's never the same. And you know what? Wouldn't it be great someday to be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven and not only see Jesus face to face, but to see other people that you, through your prayers, through your witness, through your efforts, that you also helped to bring them into the kingdom of heaven. Let's pray to God now. Our Father, it is our prayer during this week that there may come a time when there will be good opportunities for both the young and the old to hear the word of God and to be affected by it. Lord, at last estimate, we heard that there may be as many as a third of the people who are coming to this camp who may have no church contact at all. Lord, it's not interested in that we're interested in just building churches. We want to see people saved. We want to see people won to Christ, Lord. Help us toward that end. We are just your messengers. We are just your servants. You are the Savior. Lord, work through us and do your work for your glory, for your greatness, and for your honor. We pray it now in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.